Carter.
I'm Eloi.
And I'm Erin.
And if you don't know three black bitches who love true crime, you do now. This is the I Ain't a Killer podcast.
Hey, Killer Bees.
So we back.
Yay.
Hey, y'all.
Sorry, we missed an episode. We missed you, too.
Had some technical difficulties. We signed an NDA. We can talk about you later.
It has nothing to do with Beyonce getting bitten. Don't worry.
I still want to know who it was.
What? I think we established that it was Tiffany Haddish.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it was Tiffany Haddish who did it?
Yeah.
Oh, no. What was it? Her who spilled.
I can't. It was her who spilled. And everybody was saying it was Somalia. I'm like, girl, what?
That is so random to me.
Beyonce would also take me out of my character. I don't care how famous I was. I knew it would get to nibbling.
But on an ear, not on a cheek.
Listen, I think people just get confused. They get overwhelmed. The nervous system ain't regulated no more.
Hollywood got the drugs.
Like, true. They got them.
Also, that's
that.
True.
Also, that
they be doing shit that we don't do because we don't have access to.
Right.
Shit.
We don't even know it exists.
So we have a potential opportunity to come up that I had to go back through and look at some of the clips from our old episodes.
Uh-huh.
And so when I was looking through the clips, we have talked about Beyonce on this podcast like 5 or 6 times.
Really? It's embarrassing.
Like, not even as a part of the episode, but just like we just be talking about her.
I'm pretty sure any black podcast talks about
it. Yeah. I mean, they talk about her every episode.
Yeah.
Sure.
They had a whole review of Renaissance.
And I listened to the whole thing.
Same. Talk about it.
The last Hot Top and the last Black Excellence was about Beyonce.
Yeah. Like, sure was.
As it should be. I was like, get to the team. It's cool. It's
like, on that note, though.
Yeah. So, current in crime, this article is from CBS News. It says, police search for a Texas mother who left her young children alone for 2 months. Whew, okay. Let's go. Police are searching for the mother of a 12-year-old girl and a 3-year-old boy who were left alone for 2 months late last year in their house in Roman Forest, Texas. The mother, Raven Yates, is believed to be in the area of Mobile, Alabama. The police in Texas said in a Facebook post. An arrest warrant has been issued with 2 counts of abandonment without intent to return, Roman Forest police say. On November 14, 2022, the father of the 12-year-old girl called police when he became concerned the children were home alone. Police said the father, who lives in California, told police he had been ordering food to the Texas house for the children when family members told him that Yates had been spotted alone in Mobile, Alabama.
I'm sorry. If I even suspect that my 12-year-old is home alone, I don't care where I live. I'm on the first thing.
Yeah.
Like, what?
That doesn't add up, because why are you ordering food for them? But you... Well, did he think that she was picking it up? But maybe?
I don't know. But if I can't get in contact with my children's other parent, who they are with, I'm on the way.
Right, within a day.
Let it be 3 hours, tops.
Right.
Because if you're ordering food every day, then something's up.
Something's up, yeah. Especially if that's not usually what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, this definitely. Is all of a sudden.
Yeah, that's what I said. The father became suspicious after the conversation that their mother had left them in Texas alone, and after calling Roman Forest police, flew to Texas from California, officials said. When police arrived at the house, they found the children alone inside without food or medical supplies. Is that it? I think that's it. I think that's... Oh, no, hold on. It says your full article.
I've got it. Hold on. Let me finish it.
There was no food in the house. Everything was empty. Roman Forest police said there were some dried beans and some spices, and that's about it. The house was left in deplorable conditions, and the 3-year-old's bedroom smelled heavily of urine, police said.
Oh, my gosh.
Investigators said the girl didn't call the police because she was scared that her father would take her and leave her baby brother.
Oh, my God. That's so sad.
That is very sad. And that probably... She probably overheard some conversations. Maybe they have different fathers.
Yeah.
She overheard some conversations about, okay, I'm going to take those, but I'm not going to take those.
Yeah. Or, I don't want to speculate, but probably, yeah.
The 2 children have different fathers, police said. that'll do it. Both children were not registered in school, and police said that they had been alone from September 28th until November 14th.
Holy shit, they just skipped all of October.
Yeah. almost 2 months in a rented Texas home. A 12-year-old cannot take care of a 3-year-old for a long period of time. Carlisle, I'm like, and that's dangerous.
The fact that the little boy didn't die is...
I know.
I'm shook. I'm shook that a 3-year-old survived off of Uber Eats and his 12-year-old older sister. Like,
it's probably not the first time that she's taken care of him. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I'm sure this happens a lot. Probably not for 2 months.
Yeah.
But for the baby to still be okay, I'm sure she has practice.
So the two children are said to be safe with family members in Mobile, Alabama, police said. Roman Forest Police are working with Mobile Police to find the missing mother.
Damn.
I mean, I hope their mom is okay. I have different feelings depending on what's going on, but yeah, for them to be able to go 2 months without no one noticing that they didn't have anybody at the house is wild to me. Mm-hmm. Like, not an auntie, not a cousin,
not a neighbor.
Like, what?
And that little girl is 12, so it's like, how are they not registered in school? The school didn't try to figure out
school. Right. Because that's illegal.
Yeah. Right. Doesn't registration for school roll over? So she had to have been in school the year before, right?
Unless they move or something weird, but yeah.
Yeah. Because she's not choosing her own classes, so it's not like she got to register for each semester in college.
She should be in middle school.
Yeah. It's too many questions.
I mean, like you said, I hope the mother's okay. Like, I'm wondering if is having some type of mental issues or if she's hurt.
Yeah, right.
But I'm looking at the dad, like, how did you not know your child or children, depending on what the situation is, was alone for 2 months? Mm-hmm. I mean, I understand the kid didn't say anything, but that's a 12-year-old. Right. You should be able to figure that shit out.
Yeah. Right.
Especially, like, have you talked to the mom within those 2 months? Because that's the full month of October and then Sunday. Like,
I was talking to someone recently, and they were like, if I was to have kids with somebody, even if we break up, we still got to live in the same house. And at first I was like, that's a lot. But then as I started to think about it, like, that is wild to, like, wake up and not have your kids, right? Like, not have access to your kids all the time. And then, like, if you're in a co-parenting situation where you don't talk to the person that is with your children all the time, like, I just can't imagine. Like, I need to know what's going on every single second.
Right.
So they, you know, I'm speculating here, maybe didn't have the best relationship, so he wasn't in constant contact with the mom. But that's wild to me. Like, I would never be in this situation, but if I somehow lived away from my children, best believe I'm checking in every single day. I'm talking to the kids and I'm talking to you because I need to know what's going on.
Yeah, multiple times a day. And I know exactly where they are.
Text me pictures, videos. I'm pulling up every other weekend. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no way I could even live in California if y'all live in Texas.
No, not for me.
Yeah, no.
Not with little kids.
No. Yeah, no.
A 12-year-old?
A 3-year-old?
Like, yeah.
I mean, even if that's not his kid, I don't know. I feel like if I was co-parenting with somebody and I knew that they had a young kid in the house, it makes it harder for her to parent my kid.
Right.
Because she got this whole other young baby in like diapers or whatever.
Right.
I don't know, a 3-year-old's supposed to be in. So I was like, no, I'm going to be next door or I'm going to be in the house.
Right.
Like,
and where's the 3-year-old's parent? Oops. Other parent?
That's,
we don't know.
That's so many questions.
Yeah.
We done asked like 15,000.
I know.
I have so many.
I'm just like,
we definitely have to follow this. I'm going to start making notes because we'd be like, we got to follow.
I know. And then we forget. Yeah.
So I'm writing this one down because I need to know.
It's hard when bullshit be going down every week, though.
Yeah, that's true. It's hard to keep up.
It's like by the time we even remember to check up on this, somebody else going to be fucking going on vacation with their friends, getting murdered by their friends in another country.
Oh, God. Oh. So they finally issued an arrest warrant in that case. If you haven't been following the Shankola Robinson, I believe was her last name, but Shankola Robinson case, they did issue an arrest warrant, but we don't know who it's for yet. So that was the latest update in that. But I definitely have been trying to like pay attention to that one so that I could, because I need to know and I need people to be held accountable because that was wild.
Yeah, no.
Still is. Whew. All right, well, we will be back with the main story. All right, we are back, and I am the lead investigator for this week, and I'm going to be talking about Sierra Joggin. Y'all ever heard that name?
Mm-hmm. I don't think so.
I hadn't either, so here we go. Content warnings, physical assault, kidnapping, mention of rape, and asphyxiation. So on July 19th, 2016, at around 5 p.m., Sierra Joggin told her mom, Sheila, that she was going to go ride her newly thrifted purple bike to her boyfriend, Josh Kolesinski's house, which was just a few miles down the road. So they all live in Fulton County, Ohio, which is funny because
I was like, wait.
We all live in Fulton County, Georgia, right? So, no, this is in Ohio. Very different. Demographic, landscape, all of it. So, it's like a typical country county in Ohio. It's west of Toledo. So, Sierra and Josh have been dating for like 7 years. So, Sierra's parents trusted her spending time with him. And they.
How old is she?
She is 21, I think, at this point.
Okay.
So the plan was that Sierra would ride to Josh's house. They would hang out and they would both ride back to Sierra's house to drop her off. So they hang out. And then at around 6:45 p.m., Sierra tells Josh that she's getting tired and she wants to head home. So they start heading back to her house. And when they're near County Road 6, which is near Metamora, Ohio, about half a mile from her house, she tells Josh that she can just finish the ride on her own. Like, he doesn't need to take her all the way back. So he kind of went back and forth with her a little bit. He was like, no, like, I want to take you all the way there. And she was like, no, I'm okay.
This is my worst nightmare.
Mm-hmm. I know. Literally. Oh, and I forgot to mention. So she's riding her bike, right? Josh is riding a motorcycle, and he's just riding it, like, really, really slow. So, I know, strange, but I guess he didn't have a bike. I don't know.
Why didn't he just pick her up on his motorcycle?
Well, she had ridden her bike to his house.
But he should have picked her up the first place.
Oh, picked her up from the house. Yeah. I don't know, y'all. She was really excited to ride this bike that she just got.
That's fair. That's what happened.
So, she's like, no, I'm good. Like, home is right there. It's half a mile down the road. I'm okay. So, reluctantly, he turned around and went home. So, not too long after they left each other, Josh texts her a few times. She doesn't respond. He calls her a few times and she doesn't answer. And this was really unusual. Like, I guess they stayed in contact with each other constantly. So, he's like, what is going on? Mm-hmm. So, around 10:30 p.m., which was a little over 3 hours after they left each other, Josh still hasn't been able to get hold of her. So he calls Sierra's mom and asks if Sierra was home. Like, are you with her? And Sierra's mom was like, no, I thought she was still with you. I haven't seen her since she left to go meet up with you. So Josh and her family immediately start freaking out. They start looking for her, calling friends, posting on Facebook, calling hospitals. And about an hour later, when they still didn't find anything, they call police and file a missing persons report. So, a little bit about Sierra. She was born in Sylvania, Ohio on February 11th, 1996. She is an Aquarius. Her parents are Sheila and Tom. She's the oldest of five kids, and her friends and family nicknamed her C. I guess that's what she went by. She graduated from Evergreen High School in 2014, and she immediately continued her schooling at the University of Toledo Junior College of Business, where she studied HR management, and she also interned at her uncle's metal stamping business. And at the time of when she went missing, she was a junior at the college. So, the first person that the police and the FBI want to speak to is Josh, obviously.
Right.
He's the boyfriend. He's the last person that she was with, as far as they know. And Josh tells the police what we've talked about before, that they left his home around 6:45. He rode his motorcycle by her alongside her bike. They went their separate ways when they were pretty close to her house. He then said that he couldn't get a hold of her for hours. And he also said that he had taken a selfie of them that he posted on Snapchat while they were riding the bike, which was really helpful for police. And you can actually see the selfie online. It's eerie. It like shows her whole body, what she's wearing, her bike and everything. And it's like half of Josh's face. He's like doing it like this. So the police take the picture and they go searching for her. They're immediately joined by community members and they begin a massive search effort scouring the area. And they said that it was like hundreds of people that were looking for her. This is a small town. Like they said 600 people lived in the town. So like half the people from the town are looking for this girl. And this is the night she goes missing. So about an hour after her missing persons report was filed, a county sheriff was driving along County Road 6, which was the road that Sierra and Josh parted, and he notices that there's some corn knocked over in the field. So it's a cornfield, and some of it is down. He pulls over, and he shines his flashlight into the field where he sees something that kind of looks like a small fuse box, and he also smells gasoline. So the motorcycle said that it looked like something that was from... I'm sorry. the officer said that it was something that looked like it was from a motorcycle, the fuse box. He keeps looking and his like flashlight keeps catching a reflector. And as he gets closer, he sees that the reflector is attached to a purple bicycle that matched the description of Sierra's bike. So the bike was found about 3 to 4 rows into the cornfield, and around the bike they found several items. 2 pair of sunglasses, a bloody screwdriver, a box of automotive fuses, and a green sock.
I think I know the story.
Do you?
I think so. I think I watched a show that was based on it.
They did do... Oh, like based on it? Like it wasn't like a documentary?
Not a documentary. Well, I'm going to listen to the story and I'll let you know.
Okay. I know they've covered this story and there's like a lot of podcasts about it, so I wouldn't be surprised. I'd never heard of it, but... So they found a green sock, and from the Snapchat picture that Josh showed them, they concluded that it was hers. So the county sheriff noted signs of a struggle along with motorcycle tracks through the corn. They also noticed that there was blood on the handlebars and seat of the bike. And the amount of the blood on the scene was noticeable, but it didn't look like it could have been the result of somebody dying. So they think it was kind of just more of a struggle in that specific area.
Mm-hmm.
And it also looked like Sierra's bike was like somebody tried to hide it in the corn, but didn't do a good job.
Right.
And then it was at this point that they said, okay, this is a missing persons case. They send all the evidence that they found to the lab and they block the road off. They have a helicopter over the area that's doing infrared searching. I guess it's what they use like when it's dark. And state and county police are involved as well as the FBI. So the articles kind of explain that the FBI got involved because Sierra's cell phone had pinged near the Michigan border. And I guess when like police have to work across state lines, sometimes the FBI comes in to assist.
Uh-huh. Is she white?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. That's why the FBI is involved. I mean, no shade. But
no, fair.
That's valuable.
So at this point, it has been about 12 hours since Sierra was reported missing. And the farmer that owns the cornfield where her bike was discovered goes to the police because he believes that he has a key piece of evidence. So apparently the farmer and his son were just driving down the road and they saw a helmet. And they pulled over, they threw it in the back of the car, and they kept driving. They didn't really think anything of it. A motorcycle helmet. And it wasn't until later that they heard of Sierra's disappearance. And they were like, oh, wait, maybe that helmet was, like, significant. So they get it out of the trunk of their car.
This don't make sense to me.
It doesn't at all.
I'm not pulling over just grabbing random helmets on the side of the road.
People's clothing and shit like that. That means somebody got murdered or somebody...
I mean, okay, so I wouldn't do it. From my understanding, the motorcycle helmet wasn't, like, at the crime scene. It's, like... It was by itself.
Mm-hmm.
And from my understanding, this is like a country town. And maybe they're like, oh, I could sell that for like $200. Let's take it. Okay. Like, that's what I was thinking.
Fair.
I mean, it is weird, but I wouldn't have picked it up.
I mean, like, as a person from the South, like, I understand going around neighborhoods and, like, picking up things that people have on their, like, curb.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're going to be picked up. But... On the side of the highway feels weird.
Yeah.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any roadways, any like trails or anything like that. My thinking is like, because I've seen some stuff that I wanted before, like as far as clothing items and stuff like that. But I'm like, this is out here because somebody took it off.
Right.
Why did they take this off?
Right. Yeah.
And I don't want to be involved in that.
Yeah. Right.
Because you need a helmet for your fucking,
right.
You know what I mean?
So you don't just toss it to the side.
Right.
So anyway, they pull it out their trunk and they're like, oh shit, there's blood on this. So they take it to the police, and the police think that the helmet was used as a weapon.
How did they not realize blood on the helmet?
I was listening to a podcast, and they speculated, like, oh, it's dark. They weren't inspecting the helmet. They kind of just threw it in the back, like, we'll deal with this later.
Okay.
That's the only thing that makes sense.
Ooh, okay.
I know.
Yeah.
Look, it's crazy.
He's interested in the story.
We have a dog joining us. Name's Crappy.
We have a guest host.
He really looks like he's
our engineer for today.
So now it's pretty clear that this incident involved someone who was riding a motorcycle. And this immediately makes Josh a suspect. But he's really adamant that he has nothing to do with it.
Well, where's his helmet?
Exactly. So he allows police to search his house and his motorcycle. His helmet is there. They find no signs of damage or blood or hair. But when they look in his trunk, the trunk of his truck, they find a pair of coveralls with blood stains all over them.
You're lying.
No. But it's just deer blood. Josh was hunting.
Oh,
and the police confirmed it. I got you, Scrappy. So like he is looking and sending
me. Why are you so worried?
Right.
He's like, what are you laughing at?
I'm sorry. So Josh was cleared.
Good for Josh.
Right. And the search continues. Like I said, all these people from the town are searching for her. And they just keep doing what they can. So with the help of the FBI, authorities try to find Sierra by using her Fitbit and her phone. Mm. Her phone returned a signal several miles from where her bike was found, but this didn't produce any leads. They even put out rewards ranging from $25,000 to $100,000 for information leading to her safe recovery. But they didn't get anything. And at this point, 36 hours have passed. Now police are starting to get some results from the evidence that they got from the site of the kidnapping. On one pair of the sunglasses that were found was Sierra's DNA, so they assumed that those were hers. And then on another pair of sunglasses was an unknown male's DNA.
Mm.
So they kind of concluded that it was probably a male who was involved in this, but they didn't know for sure. They had absolutely no leads, and at this point they decided to search the area for people that were either sex offenders or violent offenders that lived like in the surrounding areas of the crime scene. And this search led them to James Worley. So James lived less than 2 miles away from the place where Sierra's bike was found, in a house with his 96-year-old mom and his brother.
96 is wild.
Old ass shit.
Like, old.
I'm still tripping to make sure you said 96.
96?
Like, yeah, she was old.
Okay.
Another witness in the area said that they saw a passenger van that was driving really fast through the area of the crime scene.
Is a passenger van like a Chester van?
What's a Chester van?
Like the white vans with no windows in the back?
Mm-hmm. And they were also able to provide the license plate number to the cops, which I was like, how? If the van was driving so fast. But I guess I figured it out.
You good? I just took a sip of wine and that was really funny. But no, that would be me because I'd be right. Like, the math's not mathing. So, right. Like,
was the van fast or you got the number?
Right.
Which is the other. So they very quickly found that the license plate was registered to James Worley. And while looking him up, they see that he had been convicted and sentenced in 1990 for assaulting and attempting to kidnap a woman who he knocked off her bicycle.
Mm.
So because of this information, investigators are certain that they like are going to follow up with him. They're like, this must be our guy. So before we get to this, we're going to learn a little bit about James Dean Worley, who was born on April 8th of 1959 in Tacoma, Washington. He's an Aries. He graduated from Evergreen High School, the same high school that Sierra attended. But he graduated in 1978. She graduated in like 2000-something.
Mm.
So he worked a lot of different jobs in Toledo. He was a farmer, a groundskeeper for a county fair. He didn't do well in school. Like apparently he had a 1.59 GPA.
Mm.
And they said he got a lot of bad grades because he smoked a lot of weed, which possibly. And they said he even started selling weed when he was 14. So in July of 1990, James had ambushed a 26-year-old woman named Robin Gardner while she was riding her bike in White House, Ohio. He had hit her with his truck, gotten out of his vehicle, and hit her on the head.
What the fuck is wrong
with you?
He then put her into handcuffs.
Mm.
He placed a screwdriver up to her throat and said, quote, I'll kill you if you don't stop screaming.
That up, the pause really stressed me out for a second. Sorry.
So yeah, he did that. He threatened to kill her if she didn't stop screaming, and he tried to get her into his truck. But around this time, there was actually a motorcyclist driving by who was kind of like peeping the scene, like, what's going on there? Robin starts screaming and is able to escape from the truck and from James. And this person stops, and she gets back.
That's the sound of wine.
not anything else. The person stops and she gets back on the bicycle and the person takes her home. So she tells her mom what happened. They immediately call the police and the police rush out to the place where she claimed that this crime had taken place. James and his truck is still there. I don't know why this man stayed, but I mean, I guess I'm thankful he did. And he tells the police that Robin had run into him and he had handcuffed her so that she wouldn't run away, like do a hit and run.
No, what? She ran into you on her bicycle?
Right.
You got a four-wheel windowless van?
Right.
And you had to handcuff her.
It's given some sort of like malfunction.
Yeah,
like
it is.
Sort of malfunction. Mm-hmm. Because that does not make any sense. And it's given like this one prison off of Mindhunters who tried to like trick people into thinking some shit, but I forgot what the plot was. I'm not going to talk about that. But yeah, no.
Yeah, it is giving that. So the police didn't believe him, obviously, because that's ridiculous. James was arrested and convicted on abduction charges. He was sentenced to 4 to 10 years in prison with the possibility of parole. He ended up getting out in 3 years. On good behavior, and because of his own petition, he petitioned the court.
This is the thing with me for the policing system and incarceration and things like that. Y'all don't follow y'all own fucking rules.
It doesn't make sense.
Like, I don't believe that prison should exist, but also, if this particular crime means that somebody should be in prison for 4 to 10 years, why are they getting out in 3? Like, you're not making sense.
And then good behavior is so subjective. What does that mean?
Yeah.
Like, they simply didn't kill anybody else?
Right.
Like, I was literally just about to say, so they got out in 3 years because he didn't kidnap nobody else? He couldn't do shit. Like, and then you didn't let him out with no watch, parole, nothing.
And the audience for, like, with his target audience, the people that he's targeting, aren't present in the prison. So, yeah. Of course, he's going to be on good behavior.
Right.
Because he can't do what he wants to do.
All right, y'all. We'll be right back after we pay some bills.
Are you a huge cunt?
Us too.
Wait, can we even say cunt?
Of course. It's empowering these days. Cunt, 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 cunt. I'm Ange Balasone, aka the drag queen, Fat Girl Gina.
And I'm Mike Fails, just a normal gay guy, I guess?
And we're the hosts of The Big Cunty Couch,
a gorgeous new talk show podcast where we invite queers and peers to sit bitch and be fierce on a huge ass couch
while we gab about all things gay.
So come get cozy
and cunty
with us. We're pan for platforms, so find us anywhere online and get listening, sweetie.
Or watching.
Or both.
Otherwise, why the hell am I in full drag?
And we'll see you on the big... Oh, wait. I thought we were going to say that together.
No. On the big cunty couch. Mwah.
She ran into him. I'm like, sir.
Y'all he had this whole story, and I'm like, why didn't he just leave? He stayed there.
He could have left, and they probably wouldn't have found him.
No.
Yeah.
Like, that's why I think, yeah, and you'll see in the rest of the story, there's something.
Something's not adding up,
yeah. So James actually went back to prison in 2000 for growing marijuana, and he also was in possession of weapons while he was on disability, which I guess was a felony in Ohio. I've never heard of that, but interesting. So they were both felonies. He was released 2 years later, again, for good behavior, and he had petitioned for early release. And after this release, he started a small business at his house as a mechanic. Okay, so now we're going back to 2016, and at this point, the police have zoned in onto James Worley, and they're trying to check him out. So like we mentioned before, James lived with his mom and his brother. They were all living off his mom's social security check and his like motor repair business, his mechanic business that he ran off of the property. So the property that they lived on was about an acre big. It had the main house where they lived, a garage where James did his motor repairs, a small barn, a well, and a trailer where the brother lived. So on July 21st, 2023, this is just 2 days after Sierra disappeared.
Isn't this your birthday?
The 20th is. Yeah, but that's okay.
I was like, this day sounds familiar.
We don't have to discuss it in the context of this.
Fair.
So it's just 2 days after Sierra disappeared. And I'm going to talk about this at the end. I'm sure we're all thinking it, but the speed of this case is incredible. It's sad that it doesn't happen like this all the time, but we'll get there. So the police go in to talk to James. They notice immediately that James has bruises and marks on his body. They're like, that's weird. And they do have audio recordings of this search. So we know exactly what James was saying when the police came to his house, like quotes. Mm-hmm. And you can look it up. We can post it if y'all want to hear. It's weird. But the police say that they're searching the area looking for a missing person. This is what they tell James. James seemed immediately agitated, and he says, quote, "I'm not out here killing chicks, dude. I don't have relationships. In fact, the one I started online, she came out here and she went home alive." They didn't ask him any of that. He's just offering things up. So they walk into the main house and they notice adult diapers everywhere. Like used ones on the ground, boxes of diapers, bags of diapers, all over the fucking place. They said that there was a candle burning in every room that was trying to mask the smell of the house. Wasn't working, clearly.
Yeah, no.
But I guess the smell was coming from his mother, who I guess was unable to take care of herself, was the one wearing the diapers, and they didn't clean up properly.
Oh my God, that's awful.
That's terrible.
And they also had two dogs that I think they just let do whatever they wanted to.
And that will fucking do it.
Mm-hmm.
I have two dogs.
And Rottweilers, big ones, big dogs.
Yeah.
I love Rottweilers.
Rottweilers are very cute, but I'm sure the shits are enormous.
Yes. Yeah. So the house was a mess. This, what the police are doing right now is all because James is allowing them to.
Mm-hmm.
He's allowing them in the home, whatever. So they walk into James' bedroom, and again, he says to them, unprompted, quote, "I didn't rape anybody. I didn't kill anybody. Let's just get that straight." The police are like, okay. Police tell him that if he cooperates, that's going to be good for him. He responds, "If I was a psychopath, I would have had your gun and shot y'all already."
Not just talking to the cops this way.
Oh, that's hella reckless.
And the cops are talking back to him like normal conversation because, again, this is a white man.
Right? Yeah.
But he's digging himself a hole. So I wonder if that's a part of the, like, what
right.
they need to do, like, keep getting talk, allowing him to talk. But this wouldn't have happened if he was a
absolutely
black
not. He would have already been bopped beside the head and in the back of the car.
Yeah. They would have busted through the door. They would have knocked.
That part.
So it was at this point that James puts himself at the scene of the crime.
You good? I sneeze.
Mm-hmm. Little baby.
He's like, "I'm still here."
So James tells officers that his motorcycle had broken down in the area and that he had lost items that were of the same description as items found at the crime scene. So he tells police, yeah.
So he told them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let me hear this.
He said, "My motorcycle broke down and I lost my helmet, a screwdriver, sunglasses, and some fuses."
Because you...
Not, see, not you everything.
Him. You told him all the evidence.
He also said that he found two bikes in the cornfield. And one bike he touched because he wanted to look at it closer, but if there was any fingerprints on it, that's probably why.
So you just laid out a whole crime scene. Like, they didn't even tell you what was there.
Nope. And at this point, the police are pretty certain they have him because they had not released any of this to the public.
Wow. All
right. He doesn't understand.
James.
I stand there all the time.
James.
Like, he obviously doesn't understand, what is it? Discretion, inhibition. It's just so many different things, like social cues.
Yeah.
Nothing.
None of it.
Yeah.
And you can, I mean, it's weird. You can listen to the tape. So you're literally hearing him say all this stuff, and it's weird.
I didn't rape nobody. Oh,
it's terrifying.
Coming to do a welfare check. We just wanted to look around a little bit.
So the police continue to look around the property. They don't find anything weird in the garage where James had his auto repair shop set up. So they keep going. They go to the barn. And this is when James starts to get even more flustered than he already is. The barn? Yeah. He starts talking. He's just like continuously talking, but now he's just like da 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 da, saying too much. So in the barns were several bales of hay. It was a dirt ground, and it looked like, you know how people rake the dirt to like
mm-hmm.
clean it up? So those marks were there. It looked like somebody had been cleaning up recently. The police remove the hay, and behind them they find this green chest, like big chest, is wrapped in chicken wire. So they open it up, and I'm like, why is James letting them do this?
Right.
Like, he could tell them to leave, and
yeah.
they would have to go get a search warrant, but he's just like, la-di-da.
Right.
I mean, you can tell on the tapes that he's in distress, like, he wants them to leave, but I don't think he understands that he
maybe
can
he just
tell
doesn't
them.
Know he has the right.
Yeah, and they're not going to tell him,
because,
of course.
You know, a lot of people don't know their rights when it comes to the police.
Yeah.
The police show up at your door, you think that they are just allowed to do whatever they want, because they certainly act that way.
Right, yeah.
That old lady on Worst Roommate Ever, did they have a warrant? when they bust up in her house and they was digging in the backyard?
I think at first they didn't. She made them go get one. Okay. I feel like that's what happened.
Yeah.
But she knew.
Said, oh, yeah, I can come in. I'm just going to go down the street and go to the
I can't believe they let her leave. She was on her way to Mexico.
She said, all right, bye. She was like, where she go? Wait.
Hold on.
That's so cartoonish.
It is. Really is. So they open this chest and they find a lot of stuff. Rubber gloves, a mask, rope, diapers. I'm tired of the diapers, but they find them. Bondage equipment, sex toys, zip ties, 37 individually labeled bags of women's clothing.
37?
Mm-hmm. So these bags included lace bras, lace panties, bikinis, rompers, leggings, lace dresses, beach dresses, thongs, skirts, thigh-high socks, pink lace teddies, black lace teddies, and one pair of bloody women's underwear.
Ooh. My mouth is fucking hanging open right now because 37 is a lot.
And that's evidence from each individual one. And you kept it?
So James responds to this discovery saying that he hands these items out to people when he goes out, like as gifts. Like
no,
his
a dates. Teddy?
Yeah. He also said, quote, if I was up to something, I would have hid this way better than that. Well, the police are asking him, what are you doing with this stuff? Obviously, he's like, oh, I'm giving it out as gifts for all my dates that I go on. And they're like, sure. He claims that instead of going to Victoria's Secret or wherever else you buy lingerie, he prefers to buy it on AliExpress because it's cheaper to buy it in bulk. And that's why he has all these individually bagged pieces of lingerie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they're not just folded up in the drawer, like people would normally do if they
yeah.
to him.
So according to him,
if he bought them in bulk, first and foremost, they would all be the same.
Yeah.
And like you're a bad liar.
Yeah.
And individual labels. And the bloody underwear.
Right.
AliExpress sent you bloody underwear?
But like you got hoodies and drawers and pants
and socks. And it's just all over the place.
All the time.
Bitch is not going to be walking around in beach dresses and thigh-high socks. That doesn't match up. Those are two different women. And they obviously didn't leave here with their shit.
Lord. So he can tell that the police are like judging him and he says that they're kink shaming him.
Now.
He also says that the reason why he has all this stuff, another reason he has all this stuff, is because he wants to turn the barn into a porn studio.
Okay. The barn where his brother does the mechanics?
Mm-mm, this is a different barn.
Oh, it's just
this is the barn with like the hay and the dirt floor. And this is where the chest was.
And the brother's mechanic stuff is in the garage.
Yes.
Okay.
So at this point, the police didn't have an official search warrant, like I said. So they couldn't take any of this stuff out of James' house.
Mm.
And they were able to put him under arrest because the things that they saw were like enough. But they still couldn't do anything official with the evidence that they found. So later that night, they get the warrant. It was easy. They go back to the barn and they discover some more stuff. So they move the hay bales more away from the wall and they discover a secret hidden room. And within this room, they find restraints hanging from the walls. All the windows are spray painted so you can't see in or out. And there's a piece of plywood that was like used as the floor and it had holes drilled into it. They pull it up and they find a freezer that had been buried into the ground and it's secured shut with a strap. So they get into it and the freezer's empty.
This is horrifying. It's also giving me toy box killer.
Yeah, it is giving that.
But it's like everything they find, it's like just enough for him to kind of explain away. Like uh-huh. The freezer being empty, that's creepy.
Right. So the freezer's empty, but it's lined with carpet and it smells like bleach. But these are cops. They know.
Is the freezer functioning? Or is it just
no.
A little... Okay.
I think
like a cubby.
Yeah.
Okay.
The bleach didn't hide the smell of decomposition.
Ooh.
So they were able to test the carpet and it came back positive for blood. So now the police start doing all the stuff. They get his phone records and they do a deep search of his property. They end up finding blood on his motorcycle. They find a mattress in the barn. They find zip tie restraints in a ski mask in his truck. And they find recording devices all over the property. So the next day, which was July 22nd, James was officially arrested on charges of abduction. And again, this was just 3 days after Sierra disappeared. So according to a court-mandated therapist that James had been seeing because of his previous stuff, he said that he had learned from each abduction that he had done in the next one he was going to bury. So they're like, okay, that's that. And a spokesperson for the sheriff's office suggested that he fit the profile of a serial offender and that he was most likely to have other unknown victims, and that it was possible that he kept them on the property. So basically this sheriff is saying that he told the therapist he was going to bury the person. He's probably done this before and they're probably on their property. We need to look there. Mm. They searched the property and they didn't find Sierra or any other human remains. So the same day of James' arrest, at about 6 p.m., Sierra Joggins' body was discovered. It was in a shallow grave in a field along County Road 7 in Delta, Ohio, and it was discovered by just a random passerby. They said that they noticed an area in the cornfield that had flattened out, and it looked like something had been dragged through it. Mm. And when they looked a little further, they noticed that there was a mound of dirt, and that's where Sierra had been buried. And this spot was just a few miles southwest of James Worley's property. So this is a little graphic, but Sierra's body was found intact. She was hogtied with a rope. A shoelace was used to strap a yellow dog toy into her mouth as a gag. Her ankles were bound with duct tape and her wrists were bound with handcuffs. She was wearing a lace bra, tube socks, and an adult diaper. There was straw in her hair and covering her in all of her clothing, which placed her in the barn where all those that hay was. And Sierra's DNA was found on a piece of duct tape and the mattress that was found in the barn. So they were able to conclude from cell phone records that James Worley was at the scene of the abduction for 2 hours during the time that Sierra was missing. That time that Josh had left her till they filed the missing persons.
Poor Josh.
I know. And her autopsy revealed that the cause of her death was asphyxiation caused by the gag with the dog toy. The coroner was able to rule out signs of sexual assault.
Did they rule it out?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So she hadn't been sexually assaulted.
That's even scarier, kind of.
Yeah.
No.
One of the podcasts I listened to, this is all speculation, so this is not what we know to happen. It's just an idea. But they think that because the gag was the reason that she died, they think that maybe James wasn't prepared for her to die so soon.
Mm.
And that he was planning on sexually assaulting her. But when she died, I guess he wasn't into that. That's all speculation. It makes sense to me.
It does make sense.
But yeah. So on August 16th of 2016, James Worley was indicted on 19 counts and he was put into jail without bail. So the charges included aggravated murder, kidnapping, felonies assault, abduction, tampering with evidence, and abuse of a corpse. He entered a plea of not guilty on all charges. And the prosecutor sought out capital punishment, death penalty for the aggravated murder charge. So the trial was delayed twice, and they had to go through like hundreds of jurors, but they were finally able to start in March of 2018 at the Fulton County Common Pleas Court in Ohio. So this is what the prosecution said happened. They say James had watched porn up until the crime was committed, and this is based on evidence from his browsing history. They say that he ambushed Sierra after coming across her on County Road 6. Random, he was driving by her and he decided that he wanted to commit this crime. He ambushes her by striking her in the head with his helmet, potentially knocking her unconscious. And then he waited with her in the cornfield until it was dark. So they say that during this time, he called his brother to tell him that his motorcycle had broken down. And they say that his phone put him next to Sierra in the cornfield when the call was placed. They say that he then rode his motorcycle home and drove his van back to the crime scene. And this is when that witness saw that van speeding. They say that he brought Sierra into the van and back to his barn on his property. Then he left some of her bloodstained clothes in the barn, physically assaulted her, hogtied her, and gagged her with a dog toy. And at some point, she became asphyxiated with the gag, which prosecutors say he intended to do because it was inserted so forcibly that it broke some of her teeth.
Oh.
They then say that James transported her body to the cornfield close to his property and buried her in the shallow grave. That makes sense to me. I mean, they just did it. They used the evidence to come up with that. It makes the most sense to me. James Worley denied ever encountering or assaulting Sarah Joggin. So the defense argued that the evidence that was obtained from the barn, including the underwear, handcuffs, and the BDSM-related items, were part of the porn studio that he wanted to start. James claimed that he left his helmet behind and other evidence that was found at the scene of the abduction before the crime even took place.
No.
Because his bike broke down.
I'm trying to hear that bullshit.
His bike broke down, but he got all the way back home to bring his van.
And his screwdriver happened to be next to the bike that the girl drove that was missing. Like, I'm not, no.
Right. And then before, when they were in his house and he was just talking, he said that he had seen the bike. So the timeline isn't adding up.
Yeah.
But the defense also alleged that because of the low concentration of DNA on James' helmet, that somebody else had used his helmet to assault Sierra. And it wasn't him. So the prosecution brought several witnesses, including Megan Roberts, who testified about the DNA that was found at the kidnapping site, David Morford, who testified about digital evidence like cell phone records, search history, and they also brought Robin Gardner, who, if y'all remember, was the previous victim of James Worley. So the trial concluded on March 26th of 2018. He was found guilty of 17 of the original 19 charges, including the aggravated murder. It took the jury less than 6 hours to deliberate. James's defense argued for a life sentence, saying that he was, quote, a damaged man. And a witness for the defense, a psychologist, Dr. John Fabian, said that the attack was motivated by sexual sadism connected with a fetish disorder. He also said that James had multiple mental health issues and diagnosed him with sexual paraphilia disorder. I looked this up because I don't know what that meant. So paraphilic disorder exists when recurrent, intense, sexual arousing fantasies, sexual urges, or behaviors currently cause distress or impairment to the individual or whose satisfaction has entailed personal harm or risk of harm to others, generally involving non-human objects, the suffering or humiliation of oneself or one's partner, children, or non-consenting persons.
So, yeah, it
sounds like rape and you're trying to diagnose it as a mental disorder.
I hate that.
Right.
Terrifying, right?
Because I was like listening to all the words you were saying and I'm like, so fucking racist.
Yeah. Yeah. Scary. So the prosecution argued that because James had a pretty average upbringing, he knew the difference between right and wrong, that the aggravating factors of his crime outweighed any disorder that he might have. The jury recommended capital punishment, which Judge Robinson upheld on April 16th of 2018. He said, quote, "If I thought there was a snowball's chance in hell that you were innocent, you'd be looking at a life sentence." So he's basically saying you're not innocent, so you're going to have the death penalty. Worley was sentenced to 11 years imprisonment for kidnapping, 8 for felonies assault, 11 months for possessing criminal tools, and 36 months each for tampering with evidence and for having weapons under disability. So since April 19th of 2018, Worley has been held on death row at the Chillicothe Correctional Institution. His execution date was originally set for June 3rd, 2019. It was delayed to in June and in August of 2019.
They're going to kill him the same year?
No.
The next year. Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. because it was supposed to be June of 18. Then it got delayed again to August. Then it was set to June.
Never heard of them for 2019. Ever.
In July of 2020, Worley's attorneys filed a motion with the Ohio Supreme Court to overturn his original conviction and grant him a new trial. They said it was because of the government's alleged failure to prove several aspects of the charges, his mental illnesses, incompetent counsel, and several alleged violations of jury and evidentiary rules. They basically said that the jury was tainted because the jurors were from the close-knit community and they were familiar with Worley and the case, and there was no way for them to be unbiased.
Isn't it supposed to be his peers? So, that doesn't make any sense. Y'all don't give a fuck about that when it's a black person and an all-white jury.
Right.
So what the fuck does that have to do with anything?
Make it make sense.
Shouldn't have been a shitty person.
Exactly. And, okay, so yeah, if he does have some sort of, like, cognitive issues or some shit like that, y'all should have been talked about that during the fucking, I don't know, investigation when y'all was interviewing him. And he told y'all where to find all the evidence. That was the time to talk about that. Not after he had already got convicted.
Right. So the appeal was denied by the court, and an execution date of May 20th, 2025 is set for James Worley.
At this point, they should just get him life in prison. If that's what they're going to do, because they're going to keep pushing it back for what?
They always do that.
The fact that they struggled to find jurors was one thing.
Yeah, they went through hundreds of people.
Why they were getting struck, that's what I want to know. Like, why they were being struck by the defense or whoever the fuck.
I'm sure it was because they were such a close-knit community, but I've heard of people going and having their trial in different counties mm-hmm. because of that. So mm-hmm. I'm like, why not just do that?
Right. Yeah, that was like the thing to do in that point.
Yeah. So in July of 2018, James Worley's property was awarded to Sierra Joggins Estate, which, weird to me.
Right, I don't want that.
I don't want that.
Yeah.
Her family burned down the barn. They also had a monetary settlement of $3.6 million that was awarded to Sierra's family, and they agreed not to execute on the judgment. So basically, the family saying, we understand that he doesn't have the money. We're not expecting it mm-hmm. unless he comes across money. Like he wins the lottery, he gets a book deal, a movie deal, royalties, then we're getting our money.
Right.
So it's not like they're just like constantly waiting uh-huh. or like any 30 cents he makes at jail, he gives to them. Uh-huh. It's like they're only expecting the money unless he comes across something.
Yeah. Right.
So in August of 2020, the county sheriff department searched the property again, James' property again, using excavation equipment with assistance from the FBI, basically under the pretense that there's probably other people buried mm-hmm. there. And they said the investigation into James was ongoing. They didn't give any further comment. I guess they haven't found anything yet. That's kind of where it is.
Oh, damn.
So,
Or they found something and they haven't identified who it is yet.
Yep. So after the trial, Sierra's family and other activists argued that not enough information was available to law enforcement and residents regarding convicted felons residing in their communities. Basically, they're like, James has done this before. Why didn't we know? Why didn't the community know? Why didn't law enforcement know? Blah, blah, blah. So in July of 2016, this was still during all the mess. This is very quickly after she went missing. They started organizing. And
that community is they said, y'all gonna answer to us.
Yeah.
That's probably why shit moved so fast too, because they don't mm-hmm. fuck around.
No, they right. did not. So the organization called Standing Courageous started a change.org petition, and they were calling for lawmakers to establish a violent offender registry in Ohio, similar to a sex offender registry. They gathered over 13,000 signatures. And Sierra's law was constructed in February of 2017 by Senators Randy Gardner and Cliff Height, and they presented it to the Ohio Senate Judiciary Committee. And after several hearings, the bill was made so that residents must visit their local sheriff's office to request a search be performed. Weird, but I guess it's still kind of along the lines of what they wanted.
I have mixed feelings about all of this, just to be transparent.
Residents have to go down to the sheriff's office to search what?
To have a search perform, I think, in regards to whether or not somebody is a violent offender.
Mm.
Like, they can get the information, they just have to go through this specific process, too.
Oh, okay.
So, in November of 2017, Sierra's law was introduced to the Ohio Senate, and Joggins' mom spoke before legislators, urging them to pass the bill. It was passed in December 6th of 2018, and it went into effect on March 20th, 2019. Hmm. And that's that. He's still on death row.
Wow. That was all over the place. And
it was.
I see why you got exhausted.
I was like, wait,
research.
When is this going to end?
It's just so much.
It's weird because it's very... It starts off really similar to the story that I thought it was.
Oh, so it wasn't?
It wasn't. I looked it up. So there's this show, I don't know if y'all have heard of it, called Blackbird on Apple Plus.
Yes, yes.
Did y'all watch it?
No.
I watched the first couple episodes.
Okay, so actually, I really enjoyed it.
Uh-huh.
But the person of interest that they are targeting in the story, his name is Larry Hall, and he... It's so weird. He also, like, assaulted a girl who's riding a bike mm-hmm. and, like, left her in a cornfield and, like, mm-hmm. all those things. And, like, drove a Chester van and was interested in cars and all that shit. So it's, like, eerily similar, but it diverges later on down the story.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're into, like, dramatic reenactments and shit of true crime stories, I definitely recommend Blackbird. I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, it is. I need to finish it.
Yeah, it has Ray Liotta in it. I think it was his last acting performance before he died.
I forgot he passed.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
He played the father of the other character, the other main character.
Okay.
They did some good acting in the show, and I thought the lead was kind of high. Don't
come. No, listen. I was waiting on you to say it. Whenever
he looks like a sexy Tom Holland.
Listen! Oh, my fucking God! Whenever I'm attracted to white people, I should be like, Carter. No, because every time I point him out, everybody be like, no, friend.
Wait,
like,
he does.
Right?
He looks just like Tom Holland.
He's a hot ass Tom Holland.
So I'll be waiting on somebody else to like.
Wait, is he the criminal?
Yes and no.
Him.
Yeah.
Wait. Oh, shit. What's going on with my computer? Bro.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes and no.
Okay.
You gotta watch the show because I don't want to give too much away. Okay. But basically, he ends up in prison, and they give him a deal based on what he can get to the authorities.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a pretty good show, and he's not he's pretty easy on the eyes. There's some topless shots, some crunches being done.
I gotta finish again. Now that you agree with me, okay, like this ain't guilty no more. Somebody agrees.
You stopped watching. You didn't like your feelings.
Black History Month.
No, right.
I felt so bad.
No, that was an interesting story, friend. I haven't heard that one.
Yeah, me neither. And I know we mentioned it, but the quickness and efficiency that the police showed during this case was incredible. They need to be doing this for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, we know why they felt the need to act this way because of this case. This is a young, quote unquote attractive white woman.
But it sounded like that community was also on their head.
The community is also very involved. But yeah, so I don't know what to do about that, but we need to elevate the voices of missing black people, missing people of color, missing indigenous people in the same way that we do these white folks.
Yeah.
And maybe we can catch somebody before
they harm other people.
Yeah.
Yeah. One thing I hate is when people say that. And then, like, the reaction is, like, oh, so y'all are saying that this should happen. Like, this should happen to white people. And it should
literally not.
No.
I hate that.
We don't want it to happen to white people.
No.
We also want to get the justice
and
that white people get.
Yeah.
And
I'm like, don't all lives matter this shit? It's not what I just said. It's amazing what they were able to do for her.
I
mean, she still was killed. But the speed in which this happened is, like, unheard of.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
Unheard of.
That's
so bad.
I think, like, whatever they were up to here, they did it right, and we need to be seeing that in all cases.
Yeah,
not just ones of pretty young white women.
Yeah,
I also wonder because I don't know if this is recent, but sociopathy and psychopathy are now diagnoses now.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if sexual paraphilia is going to be a thing in the future.
God,
I hate that. I really
hope
hate
not.
That. I feel like with someone being a psychopath or a sociopath is different because, I don't know, you can literally link it to, I don't know, specific, I guess, parts of the brain or, activity or whatever. But, how do you medicate somebody being a rapist? How do you therapize that?
I don't know. That was...
That's scary.
I mean, I do sometimes think about, and this is, I guess, kind of along the same lines, but, I want to be able to navigate this conversation very, very delicately.
Yeah.
But people that have impulses or inclinations to be pedophiles. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I am not in support of that. But how do those people seek help before they cause harm? Like, yeah. What does it look like to provide them with help?
Exactly.
Because it could never be me.
Yeah.
It could never be me.
Yeah.
I'm like, damn, you got to die. That's crazy.
You know, my confession was like, oh,
right.
Damn, that's sad.
That is so sad. But, like, what does that kind of quote-unquote care look like?
Yeah.
Like, I can't even begin to think about it, because
I wish we had, like, some medical professionals or, like, I guess, like, psychotherapists or something who listen to the podcast who could give us some insight, because I don't know, like, what if it is a brain thing, like, can it be medicated? Can you medicate your way out of that? Or,
right.
You know, certain impulses, can you therapize your way out of certain impulses?
This is interesting because, I mean, I don't really want to look this up anymore after this, but I'm looking up the paraphilic disorders, and this is from the American Psychiatric Association.
Mm-hmm.
So they say that most people with atypical sexual interests do not have a mental disorder. To be diagnosed with a paraphilic disorder, it requires that people with these interests feel personal distress about their interest, mm-hmm. not merely distress resulting from society's disapproval. So I guess the distinguishment that they're making between people who have this mental disorder is that they understand that it's wrong and that they want to get better,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of along the lines of, Carter, what you were saying, and not necessarily that they think it's that they're afraid of getting caught,
mm-hmm.
because they know society doesn't like it.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's
terrifying.
I know.
That I guess, like, that division or whatever, that distinguishing whatever, is still disturbing.
Yeah, it's scary.
Yeah.
It's very scary, and I don't know how we move away from that. And I'm like, like you said, Carter, I wish there was a way that there could be treatment and acceptance of people who feel themselves having these feelings but don't want to act on them,
mm-hmm.
and that there's a clear way to provide, like, cure, like, they can be cured. But I'm also like, who wants to? It's scary.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I don't know how to combat it, because there people like this exist all over the place.
Yeah. I can't imagine being the therapist to have someone open up about some shit like that.
Ooh.
Like,
that's heavy.
That's why I could never be a therapist.
I would need two therapists myself. I'd be like,
I'd be stuck in the room as a witness. That's scary.
Yeah.
That is true. Well, Godspeed if you do therapy or psychotherapy or you're a psychiatrist or whatever, because I don't even know. But I do hope and wish and dream for more spaces for people to get the help that they need before people become harmed.
Yeah.
So,
exactly. Yeah.
It's
better to be shamed than to... It's better to for shame to be on your body or on your person or whatever than for another person to feel your violence.
The ramifications of
your
desires. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Damn. Okay.
Well, okay. So, yeah.
That was the story. So we'll be back something kind of lighter.
Yeah.
I hope so.
Not really.
Oh, damn. I forgot.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll be back.
Should this be a crime?
Bitch. It absolutely should. And if you are at all active on Twitter, even a little bit, like you just check the app once every 7 days,
mm-hmm.
you know this story.
Mm-hmm.
So this article is from the New York Post, just for a little overview, from February 16th of this year. And the title is Chloe Bailey Upsets Fans with Chris Brown Collaboration.
On Beyonce's internet.
On Beyonce's internet. And you have Beyonce's number saved in your phone, girl.
Probably his auntie.
Chloe Bailey, 24, disappointed fans Thursday when she announced the new single, How Does It Feel?, featuring embattled R&B Chris Brown, 33.
Chris Brown's 33?
He's young. Did you think that was old?
I thought he was older than me.
Yeah, I thought he was older than that.
Bailey's Twitter post included a sensual snap of the pair holding each close as their heads touch. Second piece, How Does It Feel? At Chris Brown 224, she wrote. The announcement swiftly drew backlash. This is so disappointing, Chloe, my God, a disheartened fan commented. We will absolutely not be streaming. Catch you next time, though, tweeted another person. The post reached out to Bailey rep for a comment.
Brown's troubles date back to his teen years in 2009, which we all know. He was 19 at the time and arrested for hitting his former flame, Rihanna, then 20. He pleaded guilty to one count of felony assault. He later pleaded guilty to misdemeanor assault stemming from a 2013 altercation outside of a hotel in Washington, D.C. in 2017. His ex-girlfriend, model Karrueche Tran, was granted a five-year restraining order against Brown after she accused the Look At Me Now singer of sending her violent text messages and physically harming her. Bailey is not the only artist shamed for working with Brown. Last year, Normani, the former Fifth Harmony singer, appeared in Brown's music video for We, Warm Embrace. Fans were not supportive of the duo humping, grinding, and kissing in the video. Despite the backlash, some fans are looking forward to hearing the Treat Me singer and Brown rock How Does It Feel due out February 24th. Oh my God, this is gonna slap hard, exclaimed one Chloe stan. Yes, I want it now. This R&B star is set to release her debut album, In Pieces, next month, featuring her latest song, Pray It Away. Chloe's younger sister and collaborator, Holly, has also been the talk of social media this week, thanks to rumors surrounding her relationship with the rapper DDG, who has denied cheating on the Little Mermaid star. Supporters of the singer sisters have been wondering where mentor Beyonce is to guide them out of their publicity messes. If Beyonce don't come knock some sense into Holly and Chloe, tweeted one fan. I never unfollow so fast. Oh, my mama. Chloe, why on Beyonce's green earth would you do this? Parkwood Entertainment, why? Pleaded another former fan about the Brown collab. Did Beyonce approve this? Wrote a concerned follower. And that is the end of the article.
I feel like there's just so much to say about it.
There's also
very little at the same time. It's just all of it out there. First of all the people who are saying that, like, Beyonce is her mentor and stuff like that, I think they have a point, because Beyonce is very good at, like, keeping her life private, one, and then two, being very strategic about the way that she moves.
Very.
Yeah. So for this to be something that goes on with somebody who she signed directly, who was, like, basically, like, her internet niece or whatever, mm-hmm. It just sucks. Like, it just, on both parts. They were talking about the whole DDG and Halle Berry, Halle Bailey situation. Mm-hmm. And then somebody was like, Beyonce stayed with her cheating ass niggas, so why wouldn't she? And I was like, damn, points. But also, she's still, I mean, these are very, very young women. And I think about, like, because we were talking about earlier, like, I made worse decisions when I was 24.
Oh, absolutely.
But at the same time, I didn't have this much power. I didn't have this much resources. I didn't have this many people, like, looking out for me.
I didn't have Beyonce's number saved in my cell phone.
I did not. And so I feel like this is a completely different 24 mm-hmm. than regular niggas 24. You have a lot more responsibility. You have a lot more resources available to you. And this is not it to be doing with all that shit.
They also, like, Twitter was going crazy. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, it was very funny. A lot of the stuff was.
I'm still laughing.
Very entertaining. Screaming. But one of the things that they said, where I was like, points are being made, is Chloe could probably make a song with anybody she wanted to. Like, mm-hmm. Beyonce is right there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So why choose Chris Brown? I mean, number one, Chris Brown really isn't hot right now.
He's not.
So mm-hmm. it's weird.
Right.
Number two, you're not, I mean, she's 24, she's young, but she's old enough to remember that shit that happened. Mm-hmm. Like, you know.
Yeah.
So why not choose somebody that's more relevant?
More mm-hmm. palatable.
It yeah. isn't going to ruin your career before it even really starts. Yeah. I don't get it.
Yeah. He's 10 years older than her, almost.
Yeah. Ooh. So, like, what? Ooh. I didn't even think about that.
And that's the picture was all sexual and, mm-hmm. and sensual and gross.
Yeah, Kay was like, why the fuck do niggas do shit like that? Whenever they collaborate with women, they always, it always got to be like, oh, yeah. they in love with each other and some shit. You ain't right. doing that shit with Busta Rhymes.
Right.
I was crying. I was like, damn, that's a good ass point. Like,
right.
Niggas don't do shit like that when they collab with each other. Only when they collaborate with women does it have to be like, oh, we got together.
We might be fucking right now. You don't know.
Free save now. Like, the fuck? That's weird. That's super fucking weird.
I wonder, let me see if I can find Chris Brown's response.
Listen,
why you on
Instagram?
This is getting real trailer park up in here, and I don't fuck with him. I'm so sorry. Like, because didn't Tokyo, what's her name?
Tokyo Toni? Black China's mom?
Not Tokyo Toni. Tokyo, fuck. What the fuck is
Tokyo Vanity?
Yes.
She fucking went in on this nigga. And it's just like, okay, so even after that video, I would feel like my career is over. Like, honestly, she said, Christopher Powderhead Brown, okay? Bitch,
oh my God.
You didn't let my homegirls in the fucking club when you was in LA and in Miami. They didn't let, like, the dark-skinned girls in the mm-hmm. section or whatever. Like, he's known for doing that. She's a known colorist.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he known for being on fucking drugs. Like, not doing drugs, not being a user. But being on drugs, like, he done smoked all the fat out his cheeks. He looked like a skeleton. And he's a fucking abuser. What is so hot about this nigga? He can't even sing no more.
Right.
So why didn't you make a song with... If you gonna make a song with somebody who ain't shit, go with Lucky Day.
Fair.
We just found out he don't take care of his kids. But at least the nigga can sing. What the fuck?
And it's still relevant.
Yeah. It's still relevant, yeah. It's just... And then I think somebody posted, like, a list in the comments. Like, here's a list of people who she could have made a song. Luke James. Bryson Tiller.
Yeah.
Khalid. Giveon.
Black just came back. I mean, that would have been cool.
Listen.
Anybody.
It's too many people. And like you said, like, she has access to Beyonce. If Beyonce call a nigga up and say, be at the studio at 9 a.m., 6 a.m., whatever the fuck
they'll
tomorrow.
Be there before that.
That's what I'm saying. And you better be here an hour early. Like, and they're going to do it. So.
It's so
I think it's also interesting that Beyonce has been like, we got that information that in preparation for the Renaissance tour, every single person that's involved in the tour can't smoke, can't drink, and had their background absolutely dug out of the ground for like sex abuse and sexual assault allegations or any kind of like untoward behavior. And so, like, I just don't understand how anyone beneath her, not like beneath her as in like less than her, but like someone that she works with or has signed,
yeah,
could work with someone with this kind of past,
yeah,
that is like so well known. Like, yeah. I just don't understand how it got approved.
The only thing I can think about is some sort of, like, maybe she does have some sort of creative freedom, like, with a team, like, whatever label she said, Parkwood.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe she has, like, her own creative team, and they were like, okay, you should do this.
I also wonder, like, how busy Beyonce is right now with the Renaissance tour.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if she's just, like, literally in a hole,
mm-hmm.
and, like, not talking to anybody. But I'm also like, you're so closely associated to Beyonce, you better be on your P's and Q's every mm-hmm. step of the way.
Yeah.
Like, you gotta be, you just have to be smarter than this. And I understand, like, I hate to do this, but I would understand her feeling like in a weird spot, because Chris Brown has done songs with a million people since he assaulted Rihanna.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they have not received the same backlash that Chloe Bailey is.
Yeah.
But I also feel like everybody, it's not that we shouldn't hold Chloe to this standard. We should have held everybody else to this standard.
Mm-hmm.
And people are finally now like, this isn't cool.
Yeah.
You're a young woman. You're, I want to say the same age that Rihanna was. I don't remember
Rihanna
exactly.
Rihanna was 20. But
so similar. And it's weird.
Mm-hmm.
It's really weird. So I found what Chris Brown said. He posted on his Instagram story. This quote, if y'all still hate me for a mistake, this is all in caps, by the way. If y'all still hate me for a mistake I made as a 17-year-old, please kiss my whole entire ass. I'm fucking 33. I'm so tired of y'all running with this narrative. You weird ass niggas and the same one that are the same ones that tune in every week to see Blueface, Krishan beat the shit out of each other in front of the world. He added, but that's okay. It's entertainment. All y'all can suck my dick disrespectfully.
First of all, it wasn't a mistake he made when he was 17. He was 17 when he got with Rihanna. He was 19 when he beat her ass, first and foremost.
Yeah.
Second of all, the Blueface's responses
no,
response actually summed up the rest of it. Because, like, why are you trying to do this? Oh, like, because they got away with it. Or because, like, that doesn't make it okay. Like, it's simply not okay. Also, you didn't stop doing it. That's
no.
what I'm saying. You simply did not stop beating. You've been beating bitches up ever since.
That's
yes.
what I'm saying. You're famous for beating bitches. Like, that's what you're famous for. And every time you get an assault charge, your voice get worse and worse. And more auto-tuned. So, this is that, all that, oh, they got away with it type shit. That's not a good defense. That's your best excuse?
Now, I will say he did post Emma Roberts and her assault against
Evan Peters.
Mm-hmm. And I thought that was very funny, because that is something we really don't, like, people in general really don't talk about. Like, she was definitely beating Evan Peters the fuck up and, like, got arrested for it and everything.
Yeah.
And so, like, there's a conversation to be had. I'm not gonna hold you, but, like, you were absolutely, you've been doing this for, what was that, 2009?
Yeah.
A decade?
Yeah.
Almost?
It's like a career, your side career.
Like, please.
It's like being an abuser. But also, I hate when niggas bring up white people, because, like,
mm-hmm.
How do y'all not understand the effects of white supremacy at this point? White people run everything. They run the media. They run literally all of the resources and all of the, like, all of the money. It's mm-hmm. with white people. So, yeah, you got your Harvey Weinstein, you got your Emma Roberts and Johnny Depp or whatever the fuck. Right. They're going to get off because they're fucking white.
Right.
You can't do that shit. You in the field.
And you shouldn't want to get away with it.
You shouldn't be doing shit like this. Right. You should not be doing shit like this
it's
at all.
It's not okay.
First of all, it's not okay for white people to do it. It's not okay for your ass to do it. Right. So why the fuck are you bringing up all these, oh, white, trying to make it like some sort of racial issue. Like right. this is, oh, it's Black History Month and they're attacking a black man. First of all, your ass ain't black until you're going through some shit. Right. Like Kanye. Mm-hmm. You wasn't black when you was telling them dark skinned bitches they can't be in your section. Mm-hmm. So what happened with that? And that's what I'm saying. Like, niggas are weird. This is fucking weird, and I feel like this song will be ass.
Like, I hate it, but I feel like this is gonna. I mean, I wasn't gonna listen to the song, but now I probably will a little bit.
I gotta investigate just like hate.
Yeah, and that's the clips on Twitter. Yeah, maybe
people are gonna post it.
Yeah, I'm like, how can I deal without giving it streams? Because I feel like it's gonna result in people streaming it. Yeah.
SoundCloud. It's gonna be on SoundCloud.
True.
Somebody will put it on there.
I just want to. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I don't like. Seek out Chloe Bailey's music. I think she can sing. I think you had mentioned it before, like mm-hmm. you don't think she's in the right lane right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know.
Someone was like, it's just like she don't want to be famous. Like, honestly, yeah, it does seem that way. Like the music she's picking, the moves she's been making, like, and then this.
Yeah.
Girl, you must not want the career. And that's fine. Just stop.
She a fire producer. And that's what I hate. I hate when, like, when women are in the industry, you have to look a certain way. You have to go about it a certain way. If you look at all of the women who are hot right now, they have to change up their look some kind of way. They have to change up their sound some kind of way. Sizzy used to be a weird bitch. Not bitch is fine. Like, I'm not saying she not. Like, mm-hmm. she looks the fuck good.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying that, but, like, look at how she's had to change her look or how she has changed her look since she's been in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's from pressure or whether she felt like she needed to do that for her image or whatever, it always happens.
Yeah.
Same thing with Chloe. Like, them covering up their locks and stuff like that, and they going from making the weird, you know, alternative experimental music to, like, going towards a more mainstream platform and stuff. So it's... Yeah, it's weird. So it's just like, I don't know, to see like how women are affected by the music industry and like how shit like this happens. Like, there's a lot of people who are saying like maybe she felt like she had to do this to chart because she hasn't been charting or something like that, or because her songs aren't doing all that good.
I mean, hate that for her.
I really do too, because she's a good songwriter. She's a good producer. It's just like she just ain't been on her shit, I guess.
I hate that for her. I'm also like, maybe, you know, after she's been in the industry for a couple of years, and I don't know, maybe she will blow up. Maybe she will. But if she doesn't, maybe she'll realize, like, okay, this is where my talents lie, and I'm gonna do something like freaking Hitmaker.
Yeah.
He made a couple songs. They were all right, but he wasn't going to blow up as an artist. He's right. going to blow up as a producer, and he fell back and realized where his talents were.
Candy.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm like, maybe she'll do that, but I just hope that she's a grown-ass woman, so she can make decisions, but as well as her team, that they think, like, okay, this was a big-ass mistake. Let's not do this shit again.
Yeah, I also hope she learns the lesson.
Yeah, man. They haven't put out any statements or anything, have they?
I'm sure Beyonce's team was on the line immediately and said, don't say a motherfucking thing.
Yeah, they probably did say that.
She just keeps talking about the album and, like, people talking about Pray It Away, which is, like, her single that's out right now and stuff like that, and it's just, I don't know. That's literally all it is.
I guess she'll just hope that
it's album.
Yeah, we'll see how this album does.
Yeah.
It's messy.
Yes.
And you a Pisces like Rihanna, girl.
Damn.
How dare you?
Oh.
How dare you?
Yeah.
We'll see. I say it's definitely a crime. Chris Brown is a crime. He's a walking crime. And Chloe, I just need you to do better, Sib, because you just got me on the team. I'm not going to hold y'all. I was an anti-Chloe, but I was like, I'm good off of it.
Yeah.
But then I was like, y'all, like, the jokes aren't funny anymore. Like, give it a rest. She's a young woman. She's, like, coming into her own. Let her have her awkward face. Beyonce had it, too. Like, it's fine.
Yeah.
And then she come and do this shit. Now I'm like, now I got to take back everything I said. Like,
this ain't awkward, friend. This is wild.
This is horrible. This is worse than just a little mistake, a little awkward twerking. Like,
Yeah, it's definitely a crime to be Chris Brown and to do things that Chris Brown does. Yeah, it's sad as fuck that, you know, around this age was when, I mean, not around his age, but like Chris Brown, he had such a bright future. Like when
he really did.
When he was like 16, 17 years old with his little chubby face, I was like, oh my God, he's gonna be our, that's gonna be our Usher. Yeah. Talking about running and all of that extra shit, dancing in gyms, doing all that school boy shit. Mm-hmm. Like that shit was cute. So it's sad that, you know, he lost his future to his behavior, but I mean, like he kept going and going and going and going.
Because I think niggas was really ready to forgive him, even though in retrospect, what he did to Rihanna was absolutely egregious. Like he tried to murder her.
Yeah.
But even after that, everyone in our peer group and like his demographic was ready to let it go and forgive him. We really were still like prepared to support him.
They pretty much did.
Yeah. I mean, I was in that camp.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I didn't understand the ramifications at that time. And I was like, he's sorry. He said sorry and we good.
I mean, a lot of his fans were young.
Yeah.
I mean, young to the point where we didn't understand it.
2009 was the year I graduated high school.
Yeah.
But I was still very much like, okay, well, I'm ready to move on if everyone else is.
Yeah. I loved him. Like, for real.
So I could pull out a notebook right now that has his name written all over it.
Oh, yeah. I have pictures in my room with magazines of him, posters from Word Up magazine on the...
But you kept fucking up, and you keep getting chances and keep getting chances. You keep fucking up. So, yeah, it's definitely a fucking crime. For Chloe, I say a heavy, heavy citation, probation, because, like I said, being 24 and making this big of a decision in front of the entire world and having to deal with this type of backlash, I know that it's weighing on her mental health. And she probably can't do anything about it now because it's already on the album. So, I don't know. I just hope she get it together.
Yeah.
And I hope that she makes better moves after this point as far as like production-wise, songwriting-wise, the choices that she makes and stuff like that. But I the song's going to be ass, I fear.
I fear. I hate it.
Yeah, agreed.
So, yeah.
Well, on that note, let us know what you think.
Please do.
I really want to hear what y'all think.
Yeah, write us a review. Tell us what you think.
Or don't be my ass, though. Just like, just say you don't agree.
No. Or in our Facebook group.
Listen. I bite back. Keep it cute. No, but for real, we want to know y'all's opinions, y'all's thoughts. So you can find us online at
Ina Kill a Podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok, and Ina Kill a Pod on Twitter.
And you can listen to us on Spotify, my fave. You can listen to us on Apple Music and literally anywhere where you can find podcasts.
Yep. Yeah.
All right.
Thanks for another week, fans. Killer bees.
Happy close to Black History Month. Stay black.
Oh, yeah.
Stay black.
It feels good. It feels good. It feels lovely.
Warm in my belly.
All right. Bye.
Bye, y'all.